Morning. My name is Gary Gramling. I'm the chairman of the San Diego Housing Commission Board, and I'm calling to order the July regularly, well, is it regularly or irregularly scheduled meeting? It's a special meeting because it's not on our normal Friday. And that's to accommodate a lot of traveling schedules and everything else this month. So anyhow, I'm calling to order the special meeting of the Board of Commissioners. We've commenced at 9:04 a.m. A couple of housekeeping announcements. Members of the public who wish to address the Housing Commission must fill out a speaker request form. Speakers normally are limited to 3 minutes. Collective testimony by those who support or oppose an item shall be limited to no more than 15 minutes total per side. The public may ask for an item to be pulled from the consent agenda once that's announced. And comments on non-agenda items are heard at the beginning of each meeting. If you have a non-agenda item that you wish to speak on, you fill out a white-colored speaker request form and turn it into Angie over here in the corner. She's not in the corner because she's been bad. She's in the corner so she can help us. To speak on a matter listed on the agenda, please complete a speaker request form and submit it to the recording secretary before the item is called. If you intend to speak in opposition to the item, please fill out a pink-colored form. If you plan to speak in support, please fill out a gold-colored form. Based on those readings, I think we can now proceed. So our first item is the non-agenda public comment, and we have a request from Mr. Jim Varnador. Mr. Varnador, when you step forward, would you push the button to activate your mic and then to identify yourself and then proceed.
Good morning, Counselor. Good morning, Mr. President. Jim Varnador, P.O. Box 5859, City Heights, California, 92165. About a year and a half ago, I stood in this dock and pointed out to you that you had about 3,000 square feet of rentable space in a building you own at the southwest corner of Highland and El Cajon Boulevard that was vacant. I recommended you lease it. I estimated its size 3,000 square feet. I estimated street rents at $1.50, and I proposed that you were not getting $4,500 a month every month from the time you had bought that property. I pointed out that there's no parking and that you might have to take a starter operation in there, and so I suggested some sort of graduated rent arrangement to induce someone to come in and begin paying. It took you 7 months to find a broker, a job that should have taken you 3 weeks, four at most. It took the broker another month simply to post a sign, and from that day, Mr. Chairman, until this, nothing has happened. I've twice called the brokerage house, posing as a prospective lessee, asking about the terms and conditions. It's $1.75 a month, triple net, no downs for being a small-term outfit, no downs for having bad parking, $1.75, and the landlord isn't willing to adjust. And so the space is still vacant. For all of your ownership, then, by a better estimate, $5,100 to $5,200 a month has not come into this organization. It should have come into this organization and should have come in a long time ago. As well as I can gauge it, the only thing that stands between the situation today and a leased space is the lack of interest on the board's part and on the part of the paid staff. And all of you, board and staff alike, in my opinion, have a fiduciary duty to the taxpayers to get that thing rented up and stop me from coming down here to gripe at you. And so I recommend again you get somebody in there, that you graduate the rent payments if you have to in order to get someone in there. The $3,000 a month is a lot better than zero. And if your choice is zero or three, you take three because, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have a choice between three and five. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Sir, could you turn the microphone back on? Thank you for taking the
happy
time to.
Happy to.
Okay.
Sorry. Won't do.
Thank you for taking the time to come down here. Hopefully in the next year we'll accomplish some things and you won't have to come back. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
If I could just ask that we get a report back from staff on what's going on with that property. If they would just report back and give us an update by the next board meeting.
I think that's appropriate. Thank you. Right? Okay. Okay, now we go to commissioner comments. Commissioners, do any of you have anything you wish to introduce, comment upon, or anything? Seeing no indication of such, I'll call for comments by our president and CEO.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have about a half a dozen comments. Pretty normal. One, I'd like to point out that among the board members, all of you all have busy lives outside the confines of this building and the Housing Commission, and one of you received a significant award Saturday. I wanted to draw that attention to the rest of the board. Chairman Gary Grambling was recognized by Meals on Wheels Saturday as his Outstanding Individual of the Year. Gary, together with his wife Anna, were recognized. And this is the highest award presented by Meals on Wheels, which, as you know, is an organization that serves senior citizens. I know that Gary has been a volunteer with Meals on Wheels since 1977 and has twice served as the chairman of his board of trustees. So I just wanted to let you know about that, and we should show him our appreciation, I think. So this is not his first stint as chairman of the board of an organization. Also, I'd like to direct your attention outside. If you look at that gorgeous building that's been partially deshrouded, San Diego Square, as you know, that's a property we took ownership of earlier this year, and rehab efforts began on it, and you can see the partial end result. That's the building I like to describe as having been designed by a Soviet Union architect and would have looked the same had it been built east of the Berlin Wall before that thing came down. It's going to look, as you can tell, it's going to look modern. It's going to look very good, and it's very, very pleased with it. I'll also point out that the same contractor, Al Geyer, doing that building, is also the contractor that commenced the rehabilitation of the Churchill Hotel, which you can see around to the right of San Diego Square, which, as you know, we also own, and we have construction or rehabilitation underway, including the removal of the iconic sign of the Hotel Churchill on June the 30th. Both of these properties will be completed, the San Diego Square, probably very late this calendar year, the Churchill Hotel next year, and we're very pleased with the progress on both properties. I'll also point out for the record, as all of you already know, the Hotel Churchill was the target of an article on the Voice of San Diego's website on June the 15th. Unfortunately, the Voice left out a number of key facts in that article, which would have altered it significantly had they included those key facts. And to set the record straight, Chairman Grambling submitted a commentary to The Voice on July 17th in response to their article. And The Voice published his commentary on Monday, July the 20th, with the headline, Housing Commission's Hotel Churchill Project is on Solid Ground. If you have not yet read that, I would encourage you to do so. And there's a copy of it in front of each board member as part of your package for today. And I know staff in particular very much appreciate Chairman Grambling's taking the leadership here. Three other brief comments, Mr. Chairman. One is on July the 17th, the Trolley Residential Apartments held its groundbreaking. City Council Member Merle Cole was involved in that groundbreaking, as was I. And the Trolley Residential Apartments, the name says it all. This is a new construction development of 51 affordable apartments and one manager's unit in the Cholas View neighborhood in the southeastern part of the city of San Diego. These apartments will remain affordable for 55 years. They are also transit-oriented, located next to the San Diego Trolley Euclid Avenue station, which provides opportunities for residents to live, work, and play in their neighborhood. The San Diego Housing Commission is partnering with the Chelsea Investment Corporation and the Jacobs Center for Neighborhood Innovation, who are the two co-developers of Trolley Residential Apartments. Trolley will be completed next year. And there's also information on this property in your packet as well. We're quite pleased with it. Also of note is that the City of San Diego's new year-round interim housing program at a permanent facility, not in a tent, for homeless San Diegans is now fully operational. This program replaces the City Emergency's winter shelter tent program, which the City had provided during the winter months for nearly 30 years. The emergency winter shelter tents closed on April the 1st. The interim housing program was phased in starting on April the 1st, the same day the tents were shut down. The interim housing program began with 102 residents transferred over from the tents. And the interim housing program is scheduled to be fully operational by July the 1st. It actually reached that goal ahead of schedule in mid-May. The interim housing program provides temporary housing for 350 adult men and women. It sets aside 140 beds for homeless veterans. The interim housing program is operated by St. Vincent's de Paul Villages Incorporated at the Paul Mirabile Center at its downtown San Diego campus. The San Diego Housing Commission administers the program as part of the City of San Diego's Homeless Shelters and Services Program. And the San Diego City Council on March the 24th of this year unanimously approved our recommendation for this year-round interim housing program. Photo is attached. If anyone would like a tour of this facility at any time, please let us know. We are very pleased that the tents are gone, that homeless folks have their emergency needs met now at a permanent shelter. St. Vincent's is raising the money to supplement the city's money so that instead of a four-month program, this is a 12-month program. This is a win-win-win every way you look at it and reflects good policy by this board, by the city, and also some excellent work going on at St. Vincent de Paul Villages under the leadership of their new head, who is Deacon Jim Vargas. I wanted to mention that to you as well. Mr. Chairman, in closing, I'd like to do a little bit of bragging. I'd like to ask our financial section, the leaders of the financial section, Leslie and her folks, to stand up for a minute, please, and stay standing while I brag on you. I'm proud to tell you that the San Diego Housing Commission's Financial Services Department has received two awards for its financial reports. First, on June the 29th, we learned that they earned the Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting. This is the highest recognition awarded by the Government Finance Officers Association of the United States and Canada. Our Financial Services Department has earned this award for 7 consecutive years. This report recognizes transparency and full disclosure in government agencies' financial reports. This certificate was awarded this year for our comprehensive annual financial report for fiscal year 2014. In addition, this week we also were notified that our Financial Services Department received the award for outstanding achievement in popular financial reporting. This is also a prestigious award from the Government Finance Officers Association. This is the 5th straight year that the Financial Services Department has earned this recognition. I'd like to issue my congratulations to Leslie Levinson and her leadership team here with us this morning for a job well done. Thank you all. And one last comment. None of this would have been possible without a one-person financial advisory board from the board. That is Vice Chair Bobby Spoon, who's done excellent work in leading us to out of the financial wilderness that we ran several years ago. Bobby, thank you.
She may be modest and say it's all to their credit, and to their credit, they listen well, and they learn, and they grow, and they have had an outstanding mentor in Bobby. So we appreciate your continued efforts on that. But to you, the staff, job well done. Congratulations. I'd like to thank Mr. Gentry for for his entire report, but I need to pick on my friend just a little bit. It seems that we haven't quite completely turned him into a Southern Californian. And in spite of his efforts, while he maintains that little Southern twang there, he also hasn't learned that Choyas is not Cholas. Just like La Jolla is not La Jolla. And so just a little rub.
Well, some would say I don't do English that good either, Mr. Chair.
I'm not going to pick on your English. It's okay. Before we get further into this, I would like to ask the staff to also dig into an area between now and next month and get back to us for hopefully a very, very short report. But in the property division, everyone, in spite of all these torrential rains that we had in the last week or so, California is still officially in the midst of a drought. And so we're also in the midst of orders to make sure that we're doing everything we can to reduce water consumption. And one of the things that has come to my attention, not about our properties, but just I was reminded about properties in general, and that is there are little things that that waste water that we don't really think about. Things like our toilets running on in our, you know, our apartments, the ones that we have. I read a statistic this morning that said that a toilet running on can use as much as 9.5 gallons of water per day. And when you multiply that by the thousands of units that we have, I think it's incumbent upon us to look not only at toilets, but at other things, other appliances that we have in our developments, and see if, it's one thing to reduce the drought, the grass and put drought-tolerant plants in, but it's also important to make sure that we're not losing water just because of leakage and things of that nature. So, if you could. Okay. At this point, then, I'd like to propose the consent agenda, and I'd like to move item 100 from the full agenda over to the consent. That's the only proposal I have for that, and I apologize for not sending an earlier email letting you know that. I got caught up in things. So. Okay, we have a move in favor of moving a motion in favor of moving item 100 to the consent agenda is from Commissioner Spoon. Is there a second?
I just have a quick question. I'm trying to figure out, is this the property management contract service?
Yes, it is.
May I ask a quick question on that?
Of course. But no, you have to wait until I recognize that Commissioner Davis did second it. Then we open it for discussion. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, this is made up of two things. One, it has the property management service fee, and then it has it's also an allocation for expenses. I want to understand how that works.
Well, why don't we do this? It sounds like you want a more complete explanation.
I just want to we're allocating a significant amount of money to this, and I just want to understand how that works.
Okay. Why don't I remove my proposal for the consent agenda if the motioner and the second will allow, and we'll have a presentation. Okay? All right, then there will be no consent agenda today. And we'll go for the approval of the minutes. On June 25th, 2015, we had a regular meeting. And you've been distributed those minutes. What is your wish? Is there a motion to approve? Commissioner Surdy has moved to approve the
second.
Minutes. Commissioner Tossin has seconded that motion. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, the minutes have been approved. Now we'll call item 100 up for presentation.
Mr. Chairman, I can shortcut this if you don't mind. I just want to understand on the reimbursable expenses how that works and what kind of controls we have. I know that we're setting aside $330,000, in the first year for it. I understand what it's for. I just want to understand what kind of controls we have, to control those expenses.
Certainly. Thank you. Good morning. My name is Jennifer McKinney. I'm the Vice President of Real Estate Operations. We have a number of controls in place for this particular contract. In fact, you may recall we put an interim contract in place to spend additional time at reviewing the internal controls on our end in terms of the financial and operational aspect, but also with the service provider, Sunrise Management Company. So we did a full review of the financial, operational. We worked closely with legal counsel and procurement and our financial team to ensure that the proper checks and balances were in place. So we do, we require a number of reports weekly from the service provider as well as monthly financials.
How do we arrive at this dollar amount? Do we have maintenance projects that we've already planned for?
In this particular case, these expenses are operating expenses, and we looked at historical information. This is a new property to our portfolio, so we relied heavily on the historical information that was made available to us, but we also made some assumptions based on the market as well as what we see within our own portfolio. So it's a combination of items.
Okay, but just because we've allocated this amount doesn't necessarily mean that that's what we're going to spend on that, right?
You are correct. We're always looking for opportunities to save money.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move approval.
Commissioner Tustin has moved approval. Commissioner Spoon has moved, has seconded that motion. Is there any additional discussion? Seeing no indication of such, I'll call the question. All in favor of the proposal as submitted, indicate by saying aye. Opposed? Thank you very much. The motion is carried unanimously. Next is item 101, Tory Vale. Tory Vale, it seems like a short name. Preliminary bonds and note items. And who's going to be making that presentation? Joe? Let me announce to the board before Joe starts his presentation, and that is that this particular item has not gone before the real estate committee previously, and it was determined that it probably was straightforward enough that it could come directly to this board without that filtering process.
Good morning, Chair and Commissioners. Ted Miyahara, Director of Housing Finance. With me is Joe Correa, Real Estate Project Manager. Item 101 is a preliminary bond item for Tory Vale. This is a 28-unit new construction deal in the NCFUA. The NCFUA has a 20% affordable housing set-aside requirement. Market rate developers typically engage experienced affordable housing developers to build the affordable units. On this particular deal, the market rate developer is selling the land for $1 and contributing approximately $2.2 million to develop the project. The Housing Commission has no subsidy in the deal. We are solely acting as bond issuer on the transaction. With that, I'll turn it over to Joe for a presentation.
Good morning, Commissioners. This item is Tory Vale, preliminary bond items. There are two recommendations. First of all, we're recommending that the Housing Authority approve initial steps to issue up to $7 million in tax-exempt multifamily housing revenue bonds with a note, including an inducement resolution, a bond allocation application to the California Debt Limit Allocation Committee, approving bond counsel Quentin Thimig, and financial advisor Ross Financial. We're also recommending a request to City Council for a Tax Equity and Fiscal Responsibility Act hearing as required by the IRS for bond issuance. Bond's final approval will occur at a later date. We'll return to you later, both to you and to the Housing Authority. Today's action is approving preliminary steps. The second recommendation is authorizing the president and CEO to execute various associated documents and perform acts necessary, convenient, or appropriate to implement with the general counsel's advice. Oh, you've already done it. Torrey Vale is a proposed, as Ted said, 28 affordable units of new construction rental housing for families in the North City future urbanizing area. We've included in the report at page 2 development details. Eight 3-bedroom units, and the land is vacant. It's 2.96 acres total, but only about 2 acres is usable land. It's located at Rancho Del Sol Way, west of Rancho Santa Fe Farms Road, south of State Route 56, in the Pacific Highlands Ranch portion of the NCFUA. The land is owned by the master developer, Taylor Morrison, LLC, and this would satisfy the inclusionary housing requirements for the master developer's market rate units in that area. The property will be sold to Chelsea Investment Corporation, a to-be-formed California limited partnership. Is that our 5? It's not working. All right. The development team summary is at table 2 at page 3 of the report. All right. We're trying a new gizmo here. Okay. The developer is Chelsea Investment Corporation. Chelsea is an experienced developer. They're in compliance with past activity that we've had with Housing Commission loans. The contractor will be Chelsea's affiliate, Emerson Construction. And located on your screen now is a location map which shows approximately where it is located in the NCFUA. Onward. Will work. Okay. Okay, this is a site photo showing you the property as it now sits. It's, as I said, vacant land. Chelsea's proposal is requesting only a bonds issuance. There's no Housing Commission cash loan funds requested. It's entirely funded by tax-exempt bonds, tax credits, third-party financing sources. The affordability is summarized in Table 4 at page 6 of the report. We will create, with this project, 27 affordable housing units with rents ranging from 50% area median income to 60% area median income, plus one manager's unit will also be restricted at 65% of AMI. Estimated sources and uses are shown in Tables 3A and 3B of the report at page 4 and 5. Total development cost is estimated at $10,259,493. That's $366,410 per unit. Do you want to clarify, or do you want me to? Basically, I just wanted to clarify with that per unit that the hard cost plus soft cost is approximately $316,000. The public contribution for tax credits and bonds is about $246,000 per unit, and the master developer, as Ted said, is contributing the land at $1. So even though there is $366,410 per unit as a total development cost, the amount of hard cost is substantially lower, and the amount of the public contribution for tax credits and bonds issuance is substantially lower. Estimated schedule, if it is approved by the Housing Commission today, then we'll proceed to the Housing Authority on August 4th. August 21st, the developer hopes to apply to the Tax Credit Allocation Committee and to the California Debt Limit Allocation Committee on August 21st for meetings by TCAC and CIDLAC on October 21. We would then return to you for final consideration at your November 20th meeting and to the Housing Authority at the December 8th meeting. The developer would like to start construction before the end of this year, and we're estimating construction would be completed by October of 2016. Just in summary, the bond issuance, we're proposing Housing Authority issuance of up to $7 million in tax-exempt bonds with a note. The developer is responsible for payment of all costs under the bond financing. The bonds will not financially obligate the city, the Housing Authority, or the city, or the Housing Commission. Neither the full faith and credit nor the taxing power of the city nor the full faith and credit of the Housing Authority are pledged to the payment of the bonds. And on your screen now are the front and rear elevations showing you roughly what this will look like. So in summary, there is no Housing Commission direct cash loan money being requested. The bond issuance approval is leveraging approximately $4.4 million of tax credits. There are significant benefits for the community, including creating affordable units for 55 years, and obviously the construction jobs and jobs material suppliers that are included with the construction. Finally, let me note that the Carmel Valley Community Planning Group voted 13-0 in favor of the project. We have with us today Jordan Penn, a representative from Chelsea, and he's available to answer questions. We also worked with Jordan and Chelsea on the trolley residential project that Mr. Gentry referenced that we have just started constructing. So let me open it up for questions.
Commissioner Tessa?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Did you say that the hard costs are about $246,000 a unit?
No. The hard costs... $158,000.
$158,000 a unit?
Yes. I think what I said was that the combined soft costs and hard costs were a higher level.
Okay. At the $158,000 a unit, what does it come out to on a per square foot basis?
On a per square foot basis, we include that in your chart at $137 per square foot.
Okay. Thank you.
I'd like to just put some additional emphasis on something here in these costs. And that is that while we show a financing source from the master developer of $1,395,452, and then we show as a cost for land acquisition $1,395,453, the true out-of-pocket cost here is $1. Is that correct?
That is correct for the land. The rest represents off-site improvements.
Right.
As part of the acquisition.
So the master developer is, in effect, contributing
yes.
that value to the project at no real cost to the project other than $1.
The master developer provides a great deal of the gap financing needed.
Any other questions, comments? Commissioner Spoon?
So what exposure is there to the Housing Commission? None?
From the bond issuance, no, none.
And that's all you're asking us to do?
That's all. Requesting right. that the Housing Authority take these preliminary steps. We ask the developer then to try and find the other financing, apply to the Tax Credit Allocation Committee or the California Debt Limit Allocation Committee. If they are successful in obtaining those other funds, then we come back to you and say, do you now want to proceed with the final approval?
Okay, Commissioner Spoon has moved approval of the proposal as submitted. Is there a second? Commissioner Davis has seconded that motion. Any additional discussion? Seeing no indication of such, I'll call for the question. All in favor of the motion, indicate by saying aye. Opposed? That motion is carried unanimously. Thank you very much. Next. Next item is 102, which is a workshop and discussion item regarding our portfolio and asset management.
Good morning, Chair, Commissioners, Mr. Gentry, and Council. My name is Jennifer McKinney. I'm the Vice President of Real Estate Operations. With me today is Emmanuel Arellano, Director of Portfolio and Asset Management in the Real Estate Division. We are here before you today with a workshop that outlines the efforts and progress made in developing and implementing effective asset management practices for the San Diego Housing Commission real estate portfolio. Without further ado, I'll turn it over to Emmanuel.
Thank you, Jennifer. Good morning, Commissioners, Mr. Gentry, and Mr. Christensen. My name is Emmanuel Arellano. I'm the Director of Asset and Portfolio Management. Today, as Jennifer stated, we'll be presenting an overview of the different projects the department has worked on over the past 2 years as a result of the re-engineering of the department. I'd like to point out that all members of the Asset and Portfolio Management Department are in the audience today. Today's agenda will be as follows. First, I'll introduce the members of the Portfolio Management Team and show you a high-level overview of the composition of the real estate portfolio. I will then go over a little bit over the history of portfolio management and the catalyst for reengineering the department. We will go over the department's goals and objectives, as well as showcase some of the major current efforts the department has undertaken over the past 2 years. Those include the creation of a policies and procedures manual, the development of a risk management system, the completion of a green physical needs assessment, and as well as the implementation of a business intelligence system to help us do our job. Lastly, we'll go over the next steps for the department. The Asset and Portfolio Management Team, or Portfolio Management for short, has grown since the last time we had an opportunity to share our work with you last August. Today, our team is made up of 7 members. Yon Ayala, Senior Program Analyst. Steve Dean, Real Estate Assessments Manager. Chris Garbrandt, Housing Specialist. Tracy Meacock, Senior Program Analyst. Perry Ryan, Senior Program Analyst. Amanda Sousa, Asset Manager. And myself. Tracy Meacock is missing from this picture and in the audience today as she's out on maternity leave. Together, the department brings an array of skills and expertise that allows for the comprehensive overview of the assets, which includes financial analysis, site inspections, program compliance, and capital improvements. Here's a graphical representation of the portfolio management world. We have grouped our numerous assets based on their characteristics, funding requirements, and responsibilities derived from the type of assets that they are. We have our former public housing units totaling 1,372 units, 189 units amongst the public housing properties, and the remaining 5 state-subsidized properties, which are currently in the process of being adopted into the public housing program. We have 3 properties with commercial spaces with a total of 7 tenants at the moment, and 2 vacant lots. We also have the recent acquisitions as a result of the finance plan, as well as other affordable housing properties. 15 ground leases, where the commission owns the land and another entity such as a private developer owns the structure. On 8 of those 15 ground leases, the commission has a purchase option, where at the end of the 15-year tax credit compliance period, the commission may purchase these units. These total a potential 568 units that could be added to our real estate portfolio. Also under our preview, there are 4 multifamily loans where the commission has acted as a lender and a purchase option at the end of the tax credit period also exists, potentially adding an additional 287 units of affordable housing. The catalyst for the re-engineering of the portfolio management department was the 2007 transition out of the public housing program. As you are aware, in 2007, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, approved the transaction out of the public housing program and provided tenant-based housing choice vouchers to all existing tenants. At that point, the Housing Commission became the owner and responsible entity for the operation and preservation of the real estate assets. Due to the Commission's greater stake in the real estate assets, the responsibilities and tasks of the Portfolio Management Department changed as well. For instance, before the Commission acted as only as the management agent for the properties, HUD owned the units. The units did not have to be marketed. There were extensive waiting lists. Capital replacement were funded through annual appropriations, and the increase of housing units were solely reliant on federal programs. After the transition out of the public housing program, the commission became the owner and manager of the properties, and for the first time had to think about marketing the units as a traditional affordable property owner. The commission also became fully responsible for the implementation of capital and reserve plans, as it was incentivized to implement better management practices and to use its own portfolio as housing resources, as it was the case with the 2009 finance plan, where the commission leveraged the equity of the former public housing units and raised $95 million for the creation of additional affordable housing units. With the transition out of the public housing program, the commission inherited a diverse portfolio, with properties varying from single-family homes to multi-family projects with over 240 units. Though the majority of the former public housing units consisted in smaller properties, averaging about 9 units per site. The average of the portfolio also greatly varies, with properties older than 100 years old, as is the case with the Hotel Sanford, and as new as 6 years old, as is with the case with the Courtyard Apartments. Though the average age of the portfolio is about 39 years old today. As a public housing entity, the commission did not have to give the property replacement reserves, as capital replacement work was based on the annual appropriations from HUD. As a new owner of real estate assets, the commission had to set up adequate property reserves to better match the portfolio needs. Moreover, as a result of the equity financing of the portfolio, new compliance requirements were established, where the commission reports back to its different lenders on the performance of the collateral of the equity loans. The equity financing also resulted in the needs for property-specific data such as financial statements and operations and performance reports. Previously, HUD saw the public housing portfolio as only one project with no property-specific data. With the transition out of the public housing program, the commission began to see and treat each individual property as its own business unit. This enabled the commission to value the property's performance and needs on an individual basis. Given the new responsibilities, a new goal was set for the department, which was to develop and implement effective asset and portfolio management systems for all real estate asset classes, those being real estate properties, ground leases, and major loans. We set ourselves to improve the organizational structure and processes while adopting best practices across different sectors. We set ourselves to streamline key responsibilities informally across different groups, and to maximize effectiveness of data collection and management systems. We committed ourselves to make the portfolio management function more proactive and detect small issues before becoming big or costly problems, and to help the agency make informed decisions on new developments and portfolio composition. As stated earlier, with the way the Housing Commission viewed its real estate portfolio changed drastically as a result of the Commission's transition out of the public housing program. The responsibilities of the Asset and Portfolio Management Department were very different when the Commission acted as a public housing agency than what they are today. As the sole owner and manager of these units, the Housing Commission has a great stake on these assets. The Commission is solely responsible for the operation and long-term preservation of these properties. To assist us with the reengineering of the Asset Management Department, with your approval, we brought a consulting company on board to help us implement industry best practices and standard policies and procedures. TCAMS, our consultants, their primary tasks were to review and analyze the asset management needs of the department, to also help us establish an appropriate structure and to meet the short and long-term needs of the commission, as well as establish standard asset management policies and procedures. Their work was primarily focused on 4 different areas, information flows, processes, staffing and expertise, and departmental structure. I'll also like to point out that today we have Alan Phillips with TCAM in the audience. With TCAM's help and expertise, a guidelines manual was developed. This manual incorporates the industry's best practices from both the private and public sector, while keeping in mind the uniqueness of the Housing Commission as a real estate owner, property manager, and lender. The guidelines include report templates for multiple job levels, starting from the property managers all the way to our CEO. The templates will help us to standardize the reports, the frequency of reports, as well as to help us utilize consistent terms and key performance indicators. TCAM not only assisted the Commission in creating a guidance manual for the real estate assets, but also created a manual for the residual receipts loan portfolio. The various reports within the guidelines manual highlight different property-specific information, such as financial and operational performance, site inspections, reserve balances, and capital plans. The reports are also designated for the role of property-specific information to a portfolio-wide report. One of the main components of this guidelines manual was the incorporation of a risk rating criteria, where the Commission's real estate assets will be assigned a risk rating based on the asset's current financial and operations performance, physical and market conditions, compliance with regulatory agreement, as well as other relevant issues. The properties will each be assigned a risk rating from 1 to 5, with 5 being the those properties with the highest risk. The main purpose behind the utilization of a risk rating is to proactively identify any potential problems with a property, as well as to be able to allocate the adequate resources to properties that may need more attention and oversight. Another one of our efforts. With your approval back in May 2013, the Housing Commission embarked on conducting a Green Physical Needs Assessment, or GPNA for short, on all of its real estate portfolio to assess the current physical condition of each property, as well as review the condition of building systems and components. All Housing Commission-owned properties, with exception of Hotel Churchill, were assessed, with 10 to 20% of the units at each property being inspected. The GPNA identified the capital needs of each of the real estate properties for the next 20 years based on the current status and the useful life of the building systems and components. Where appropriate, potential energy and water efficiencies were incorporated as part of the system's replacement. The major building systems include ADA upgrades, site improvements, architectural and structural work, mechanical and electrical systems, as well as interior improvements of dwelling units. This assessment information will allow the Housing Commission to make long-term financial and strategic planning decisions relative to the preservation of existing real estate assets. In addition, the information provided will assist the Housing Commission with establishment of reserve accounts for each property. In front of you is a quick overview of the GP&A results for the Housing Commission's portfolio. This is for FY16 and FY17. For the next 2 years, the major needs of the portfolio fall under the architectural and structural and ADA and pre-development categories. Within the architectural and structural category, the highest ticket items are the windows and doors, roofing, cabinets and appliances, which are in line with the average age of the portfolio of about 39 years old. The average need for the next 2 years is approximately $10,800 per unit. As we embark on a detailed analysis of the portfolio's performance and operations, the Commission identified the need for a business intelligence system that could bring complex data into condensed reports, with the flexibility of jumping from one specific property or group of properties to the overall portfolio. With access to real-time data and metrics, staff will be able to identify opportunities for improvement and monitor process efficiencies in a timely fashion, as well as set benchmarks and perform property comparisons, all of these allowing us to make informed decisions. For this reason, with the help of our IT department, the agency identified Tableau, an intelligent software system that allows the data to be visualized and create interactive and shareable dashboards and reports. The next couple of slides are examples of the different dashboard reports the department has been working on using Tableau. These reports mirror those reports included in the asset and portfolio management guidelines. Please note that we're still in the development stages and testing phase of these reports, so the data included is only test data. However, we wanted to share with you the different dashboards we have been working on and highlight the interactive features of Tableau. This is a screenshot of our risk rating dashboard. This dashboard will highlight the different key performance indicators at the whole property of the whole portfolio by showing the data of the different property groups. The dashboard is interactive, so when selecting any of the key performance indicators, those properties that are part of the property pool will be highlighted on the map on the right. Also, when hovering over the metrics, the dashboard will provide detailed information. This dashboard also has drill-down capabilities, where you can click on a property pool and then see those properties that make up that pool and their respective metrics. As you can see, the different risk ratings are on a scale from 1 to 5, with red or 5 being those properties with the highest risks or metrics. As I mentioned earlier, we intend to assign a risk rating to all the Commission's real estate portfolio to best allocate resources where they are needed the most. By utilizing Tableau, we will be able to have a real-time information in an automated fashion. Our goal is to use Tableau to tell the story of our assets. In front of you, you have a screenshot of one of the filter pages, part of the financial activity dashboard we've been working on. This page is also very interactive, where the user can search for a property using different filters, whether it's the property's address, the property's number, a group of properties, etc. We can also sort the list in multiple ways, including the number of units from largest to smallest, as it is in your handout today. With a simple click of a button, you can easily jump from one asset to the next. Once a property has been selected, the dashboard will take you to the financial activity screen, which is now in front of you. The financial activity dashboard highlights the property's performance and provides information of the asset's operating revenue and operating expense categories for the four most recent quarters. In this example, with the test data, we're looking at the Maya Linda property and see the performance of the last three quarters as well as year-to-date in FY16. Each quarter highlights actuals versus budget and shows the variance amount in a percentage and dollar basis. One of my favorite things about the dashboard is that information can be presented in many multiple ways. For example, at the bottom of this dashboard, we have a visual representation of the data above, particularly exciting to those that prefer the data in a visual format. The next screenshot is a screenshot of the work order dashboard, where we'll be able to monitor the work order activity for the different types of work orders all in one condensed report. It is also interactive, thus it allows us to view the data in multiple ways, whether it's portfolio-wide, by property group, management team, or a property-specific information. The dashboard has filters to view the data for different time ranges. This will also help us analyze the operations data month over month to identify any trend or problems, as well as ensuring that the work is being completed under the Housing Commission's parameters. One of the reasons why we're excited about the development and usage of these dashboards is the increased communications that we will have with line staff to better interpret the information. This dashboard, for example, provides for a comment section where the property manager will be able to address and speak to the property's performance indicators. This will help us ensure that any areas of concern are properly addressed. Tableau is very flexible and can help us visualize all sorts of the data. In light of the current drought and recent state mandate to reduce water consumption, the portfolio management team has begun working closely with the city's public utilities department to track the water consumption of the Housing Commission properties at a property-specific level. By having access to this information, we will be able to come up with additional ideas to help reduce the water consumption. The slide in front of you is a screenshot of the dashboard the portfolio management team has been working on to track the water consumption of the Commission's real estate assets. On the left side, we have a year-over-year information of one of our properties on Santa Margarita Street. The blue area is the water consumption, the green is the water consumed for irrigation, and the purple is the sewer count. I'd like to point out that all of these metrics are in 100 cubic feet. We've also begun to analyze the water consumption per property based on the number of bathrooms as shown in the chart in the right. We hope to continue our relationship with the city's public utilities department. We know that by keeping a close look on the water consumption, we will be able to determine appropriate measures to reduce the water used by our properties. Tableau will help us analyze and visualize the information provided, in addition to help us identify any water issues such as leaks. In front of you is a screenshot of another dashboard the team has been working on that includes the information of our major loans portfolio. In this example, the dashboard shows the different funding sources of the loans where the commission has participated as a lender, as well as the different types of loans that were made. The size of the bubbles on the left are corresponding to the dollar amount of each funding source. With this sample dashboard, we can easily tell that home, or the bubble in green, is the largest funding source for loans, followed by inclusionary in purple and housing trust funds in red. The information is also included in a table format at the bottom of the screen for those that prefer matrices and tables. As you can probably tell by now, Tableau allows us the flexibility to visualize and express data in many different ways. We love having this flexibility since it motivates us to be creative and to think of information in different ways that we have not thought of in the past. We have spent the past couple of years re-engineering the asset and portfolio management department, defining and establishing policies and procedures, as well as implementing best industry practices. We have learned more information about our real estate portfolio and have gathered large number of data to help us make informed decisions. For next steps, we will continue with the development of Tableau dashboards and reports. We will continue the implementation of the policies and procedures guidelines to ensure industry best practices are a norm in the department. As far as capital plans, we will be using the data provided by the GPNA, supplemented by site inspections by the portfolio management team, as well as input from line staff to strategically address the capital needs of the properties. We will work in identifying additional financing mechanisms to fund the projects and set up reserve accounts based on each of the property's requirements to preserve a quality affordable housing and ensure that the Housing Commission's portfolio is economically and physically sustainable. This concludes my presentation, and if possible, I will also like to take the time to and the opportunity to thank Mr. Gentry, Ms. Debbie Ruin, and Jennifer McKinney for their guidance and support with these efforts. I'll also like to thank the different departments that have collaborated with this effort, including our IT department, financial services, procurement, rental housing finance, and properties management. I'd like to thank Alan Feliz with TCAM for all of his assistance and advice during the past 2 years. And most importantly, I'd like to thank the portfolio management team for their hard work, dedication, and commitment to the department. Thank you.
Commissioner Davis?
Yes, I don't know if you would be the one to answer this question, but with all the recent news, does your department have ample security, your IT department have ample security and for any risk for people hacking in or messing with your information? This is excellent, but I'm just curious with all the reports I've heard.
I think I'd like to defer that question to our IT, someone from our IT department if they're present. Thank you.
So I'm Kerry Clements. I'm the Vice President of IT. All of the information that we have that he was showing you is all on-premise and protected here.
Thank you.
Commissioner Tessa?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So it's an impressive system for sure. Have you looked at other, have you checked with other agencies that have used this, and what kind of results have they achieved from it?
Thank you. I'd like to answer your question in two different steps. One is when we were looking at different data, we soon realized, we soon realized that we were a very unique organization and there was not another housing commission. So I would like to say that we're probably at the cutting edge of this system. Well, we've talked to other housing authorities, other housing commissions, but to better answer your question, maybe I would like to defer to Alan, because I know Alan, as our consultant, he works with different housing authorities throughout the country, so he can probably share more about that, about how the performance of this agency compared to the rest.
Well, he approaches, I know that you mentioned that you're looking at not only public but private sector best practices as well. I'd like to hear maybe if there's been some private sector entities, management companies, what have you, that use it and see what kind of results they get.
Sure. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Council, Mr. Gentry. First, I'll address your question about IT systems around the industry, and then I'll say a few words. I've been asked to say a few words about my experience with the Housing Commission on this effort. Regarding IT systems, as Emmanuel pointed out, the Housing Commission is very unique in terms of its relationship to its assets, whereas most housing authorities are either direct owners of affordable housing through the public housing program, a program which the Housing Commission has by and large transitioned out of, or they're an administrative limited partner in tax credit transactions. So very, very different from the way the Housing Commission is structured, which causes the commission to look at a different way to manage its data. Throughout this engagement, we surveyed a variety of systems from some of the high performers in the public sector and in the private sector. We looked at customized solutions. We looked at third-party systems that manage your own data. And ultimately, we couldn't find a specific system that is currently being used that would meet the commission's needs. Carrie, who's very knowledgeable of systems you can buy off the shelf and then customize to your own use, found Tableau, and we had an opportunity to really learn that system throughout this process, and I found that to be the best way to approach the San Diego Housing Commission's data needs. So, a unique experience. I would say that the commission, is in a position to lead the industry in terms of having very flexible data management where you could have customized reports at the click of a button, and hopefully the implementation can go well, and the commission, I think, is positioning itself to show the rest of the industry of how an organization like SDHC can, you know, better manages its portfolio data. So, if you wouldn't mind, I just want to say a few other things before I sit about my experience with the Housing Commission. This engagement is very important, not just for the Housing Commission, but for the low-income housing world in general, for the following reason. For many years, the way we financed affordable housing in this country, as Emmanuel wonderfully illustrated, it's been funded directly by government, underwritten at break-even, so these properties didn't have much cash with a huge backlog and capital needs. For many reasons, the old model has not worked, but fortunately, in the past 25 to 30 years, we've seen a newer model of affordable housing finance, one in which it's been financed by public and private sources of capital, and with that new model have come new opportunities, such as housing authorities can now, by virtue of just managing their own portfolio, can get more resources for housing and don't have to be as dependent on public resources. And this is a concept that's unfortunately lost on many organizations around the industry. Many don't understand that if you do a better job managing your own portfolio, you can get more resources for housing and for other departments as well that support those efforts. This is a concept that the San Diego Housing Commission fundamentally understands. They've understood this from day one. It all started with Mr. Gentry, and we've had the pleasure of being a part of that since March of 2013. They realize that not only can you maximize your resources with this new model, but you can also be proactive in managing your portfolio through the risk rating system, detecting small problems before they become big problems, not focusing on putting out fires, but preventing those fires. And also, you make better decisions about new investments when you have an industry standard asset management function. And that's what we've had the pleasure of working with Mr. Gentry's group. Now, we believe that the San Diego Housing Commission has positioned itself to be a leader in this important area, and being a leader in adapting to the new model and showing other housing authorities how you asset managed in this century. And I just want to commend the San Diego Housing Commission's leadership for this effort, Mr. Gentry, with his vision, always keeping his staff focused. I also want to commend Debbie Ruane, who I don't think is here with us today, and her staff, Jennifer McKinney and Ann Kern, who collectively have kept the foot on the gas, keeping their staff focused and committed. And last but certainly not least, Emmanuel Adeyano and Perry Ryan, who have been working with us since day one, who are the real workhorses. I know there are many others behind the scenes who have done a lot of great work on this effort, but this is a group that has been very committed to this part of the industry that hasn't gotten much attention for many years because, you know, it's not development, it's not providing new capital and building new stuff. You know, it can be a dry thing, but as I've mentioned before, there are a lot of great opportunities there. I was here last month, actually, to give a presentation about this effort to the Council of Large Public Housing Authorities, and I'm back here again. This is my second presentation about this wonderful effort. A few weeks before my prior presentation, I actually had ankle surgery, had a plate and some screws inserted into my left ankle to repair a broken ankle. But, you know, I come back because this is one of our proudest moments at TCAM, working with the San Diego Housing Commission and seeing what they've done with this effort. We think this is very important for the industry at large, and we think the commission has done such a fabulous job, and that's why I keep coming back to tell this story. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Gentry?
Two or three comments, Mr. Chairman. First is, you can see from the way Alan and I move around how tough this industry can be on you. Second, chairman has commented on my use of colorful language. I'm going to do it a few more times. Frank, in this industry, the way I describe asset management historically in the public housing world is benign neglect followed by panic response. And that makes sense when you understand that it literally takes an act of Congress to do a capital improvement on public housing. Because otherwise, as Alan said, it's a zero-sum game and the money's not there. The structure of traditional public housing has made it a failed business model. It just does not work. And you look at the shape of properties are across the country, it's not because the operators are stupid and not because the occupants are irresponsible. Is because the financial structure does not work. It's the kind of thing that caused Bobby great consternation. The money does not work. And the fact that this city made the decision to convert most of the public housing to voucher form of subsidy, give the residents the ability to vote with their feet and walk with the subsidy, meant that instead of the subsidy being the attraction, which is the way it is when the subsidy is project-based in public housing, it meant that our properties had to compete because they did not have the subsidy attached to them. Now, to compete, it means that you've got to be competitive. And that means you've got to keep your properties in good shape and marketable. And we literally did not have a system that would allow us the information to do anything more than that panicked response whenever a problem kicked up. So we looked through it through the industry, and there is no other agency in this country, and Alan can reinforce this, that has this level of sophistication in an asset management report about to be implemented. And the bulk of my 43-year career has been in the back end of the business, the non-glitzy part, as Alan indicated. It's the development that gets all the attention. And I'd like to aggravate my developers on staff by pointing out that building this stuff is the easy part. Keeping it operating for years and years, that's the tough part. And it's the part that gets a little attention because it doesn't get noticed unless something bad happens. It's like blocking and tackling. It doesn't get noticed unless it's not done. So what we're doing here is putting together a set of information that will allow us to see problems coming and deal with them. Now, this is heavily based on a tax credit system. Well, I'll point out that TCAM, used to stand for Tax Credit Asset Management until the TCAM folks decided that they had a broader world than the tax credit world. Before moving here 7 years ago, I worked for a tax credit syndicator in Chicago, the National Equity Fund. And TCAM and we knew each other very well. And what I look for when I charge staff with finding some help to put the system together is something analogous to the asset management information system we had at NEF when I was there. And I'll point out that my job there was to oversee our portfolio. When I left to come here, we had right at 1,600 properties, 100,000 units in 42 states. I had staff spread out from Rhode Island to Los Angeles, and we controlled that in Chicago. And the only way you can do that, rather than just the panicked response mode, is to have an information system. And in Chicago, we had developed our own asset management system that gave us the ability to risk rate and oversee our properties. And we would do, as private sector entities frequently do, a quarterly evaluation for reports to our quarterly board meetings, just like a private sector company would do, on the status of our portfolio, which properties were in trouble, which way they were trending. That doesn't exist in the public housing world. So what the TCAM folks, together with our asset management staff here, are doing is developing a system similar to the tax credit asset management system, which, and it had to be different because the interests are different, which is going to allow us to be aggressive, forward-looking, and dealing with issues before they become problems. And the information coming out of this and the dashboard reports that you see here, that makes me feel as good as a financial report makes Bobby feel. So we're not quite there yet. We're close. And Mr. Tassin, earlier this morning, you asked for the question about water usage. We're going to be able to do that without too much difficulty. And it's because the structure of the information will allow us to retrieve it as we need it in a time-sensitive fashion.
Commissioner Cerny?
Thank you, Mr. Gentry. I have a question related to slide 11. If you could take a look at the green physical needs assessment. And again, this is just an educational question. With respect to the percentage, how did you determine that 10 to 20% of all the units would be an actual picture, if you will, of what the total 100% of the property would be? Thank you.
That's a really good question. In fact, we actually used HUD's mandate to conduct a green physical needs assessment on the public housing properties. And as an agency, we decided to do the whole portfolio-wide. Now, HUD mandated to inspect 10% of the units, but we did feel that's actually an industry standard. But we did feel more compelled to look at more of the units, so we bumped that up between 10 to almost 20% of the units, depending on the property size.
Thank you. Yeah. On slide 19, could you just repeat again, with respect to the chart, total water and sewer usage year over year, what was the initial, the first part of that, the 7,000 to roughly 4,000? Explain those two.
Right, so it's the year-over-year comparison. So the bar on the left, it's FY14, and the one on the right is FY15. So with this example, at this property, we can tell that our water consumption has decreased from FY14 to FY15. And the three different colors represent when we get billed for the water, we get billed in three different categories. One is water consumption. One is water consumption for irrigation, which is the items in green, and then sewer.
Yeah. No, I'm going to recognize you. Commissioner Spahn?
And first of all, congratulations. It's absolutely spectacular. I'm so excited to see this. You have no idea how it warmed my heart to see slide 17. You did. Yes. Yeah. So, speaking of slide 17, Leslie, have you had input into this? Great.
So are the numbers coming from finance, from the finance department? From Yardi? Yeah. I don't see debt service in this chart.
Right, this is just a sample, and the difference, this is the property that we picked is Maya Linden, that property is unleveraged. So if you were to see the portfolio-wide report, you will see a debt service line for that. This specific property does not carry any debt.
Thank you. Thank you. I was worried about that. One more. On slide number 10, please explain to me how the ratings are determined, numbers 1 through 5. You know, and I was, as you were presenting it, I was thinking of a board meeting a couple of months ago where we were asked to approve the sale of a property that was in very poor condition. And I think our chairman mentioned that it was an embarrassment to be the owner of such a property. Well, where does that property fit on this chart? And would that condition have popped up with this type of system?
Sure, good question. So to answer your first questions, the parameters are set by industry best practices. So in fact, with TCAM's help, we were able to develop a risk rating matrix. We'll be happy to share with you that actually talks about the different components, the financial operations, physical condition, market, and compliance. And there's different criteria under each major component that will assess a different risk based on a different parameter. To answer your second question, we're not fully implemented with this yet. We're still in the development phase, but I would anticipate that a project like the one we heard at the last board meeting would have a higher risk rating based on the different components, whether perhaps physical condition or compliance with management. Sure, I don't have those in front of me, but I'll be happy to share those with you.
Mr. Gentry?
I'll point out that the 5-category risk rating system is loosely based on that used in the tax credit world. And it goes from really good to on down the line. And hopefully and surely over time we'll make sure that those properties that score badly are diminished and are fewer in number than the others. It also, and this is, I think, critical, it gives information to staff on where to spend their time. Because, you know, in the government, and we are government, despite the fact that we act private sector, the amount of work can expand to fit whatever size staff you have. And there's always a tendency for staff not to recognize always where value added can occur. So what we want to do is to use our staff resources, which are always going to be scarce, to focus where they can make the most difference. So if you've got properties that are in good shape, then they don't need a lot of oversight, except to make sure they stay that way. And it allows management to focus its attention on those properties that require attention to be brought up to speed or to be dealt with. It will also allow us, in those very rare circumstances, that a property may have reached the end of its useful life, to recognize that and to justify it, because as public sector agencies, we're always going to have to do that. So this just gives us the information to deal with issues before they become real problems.
My question is something that actually both of you have alluded to, and that is we still have some public sector properties that were not converted, and we also have several properties that are individual properties, 1 to 4 units. Is this system set up to inform us as to what the condition of those particular types of properties, what is their condition?
Good question. Yes, they are the system set up to look at every single property the Housing Commission owns, including the public housing sites. So anywhere from the single family homes to our largest multifamily project.
And that's owned in whole or in part. That means if we own it in whole or only in part.
That's correct.
Right. Any other questions at this time? All right. Well, thank you for the report. We're looking forward to the next edition of it.
Thank you.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It. Thank you.
Yeah. We're moving in the right direction. Thank you. Okay, on that note, we've concluded our public agenda. Thank you all for your attendance.